Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
It's the WIP Afternoon Show. Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We're at Lincoln Financial Field getting you ready for the Eagles home opener, Monday Night Football. Nick Foles night. Nick joins the pregame show tonight at 7:20. But I believe that we have a very important guest right now. Jeremiah Trotter. Trot, I hope you're aware that you have to help us solve a huge mystery here with us today.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to take you back.
What's up, Trot?
What up, big dog? Yeah,
just want to let you know I'm here.
Okay. So I want to take you back to 05, September of 05.
Okay.
And there was a tussle between, you know, some Falcons players and some Eagles players before the game. You were thrown out. Ike Reese was thrown out. And we believe... We believe that Ike was responsible for this tussle, leading you to get thrown out of the game. So could you please tell us what you remember about that moment, and was Ike Reese mostly responsible for this?
So for years, right, for years, everybody has been blaming Ike. And I kind of rolled with it. But today, I'm going to bury the hatchet and clear the air.
Huh.
The actual tussle, as you call it, Ike didn't have anything to do with it.
Get him off the air. Hang up.
This is not what we wanted, Trot.
Tell the truth, Trot.
I got to clear my man's name. He wasn't responsible for the tussle. He wasn't even on that side. He was on the opposite side of the football field. But now, all that jumping around and catch bumping at the middle of the field, that was 100% Ike.
So...
I will cop to that. That was me. That was me.
Would you mind if we just continue to blame him for it?
Yeah, I don't mind at all. I just want to clear air. That's
all right, okay.
And honestly, I'm okay with it, too, because I've allowed it to happen all these years. But now my brother, he's right. We've asked him this several other times, and he buried me right with it.
Like, oh, yeah, wow.
Yeah, he got me. But as a true brother, he can do that and get away with it. But I'm glad, at least today, we got it on tape that he said I had nothing to do with it, so I'm happy with it.
It's just so much fun to blame Ike, though, you know.
Well, and the quote, nothing to do with it, it sounds a little strong to me as well.
Oh, man.
Hey, I don't know what Ike actually planned leading up during the whole week, you know, but that actual moment, he wasn't there. So he could be the mastermind behind the whole thing. Who knows?
Yeah.
No, don't get me wrong now. I was in the locker room pumping everybody up now. Don't get me wrong now. Yeah. Listen, I had them boys ready to go. It was my only contribution to the Falcons while I was there. I had them ready to go for that game, Trot. I had them ready, man.
So, you know, Trot, we obviously the first thing I want you to ask you about is the play of Zach Bond and N'Kobe Dean last week, because I think we're all, especially when we saw Devin White was going to be out, all a little unsure of what to expect. But generally, we were all really, really encouraged. I'm curious what you saw and how you felt about the performance of those two guys.
Man, I've been very impressed, even from spring ball. I mean, not spring ball. I'm thinking about college. From
training camp.
OTAs.
Training camp.
Yep.
All the way to now. Very impressed. So it doesn't surprise me that, you know, Zach Bond went out and had the game he had, because they've impressed me all through training camp. Him and N'Kobe, those guys are playing very well right now. And you know, they're don't let I'm extremely happy about the linebacker play.
Yeah, when you look at N'Kobe, Trot, and you know, obviously you two aren't sort of built the same way, but he is the Mike backer in this defense like you were.
Right.
And I tell people, they sometimes people don't even remember your rookie season and how you sort of struggled to get on the field, even being active, inactive certain weeks, and the game was just different. Now, obviously, you had the ability and the talent to do it, and you had some stuff. Your father had passed away that summer, and you had some other family stuff you were dealing with that contributed to it. But with N'Kobe, I'm just saying, off to a slow start to his career, how did you make that, I guess, that switch flipped on for you in your second year to where you look like the guy they drafted in the third round out of Stephen F. Austin? Seems like that switch has gone off of N'Kobe in his third year.
Yeah, I think what hurt N'Kobe was just injuries, you know.
Yeah.
That slowed down his first year and then last year. And even when training camp first started, he didn't look 100% healthy. But, like, as they got closer to the season, maybe that second preseason game, that's when he really started to, like, it started to click for him. He started to look healthy. He was quicker, more explosive, you know. And you know how it is, like, with them injuries, man, they can really hamper your play, your practice, and all that. So I just think he's getting healthy. I really always liked him because he was always so smart, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And I always wonder, like, who coached him in college, who coached him in high school, because he's a very cerebral player, you know, and anything that he may lack physically, he make up mentally. You know, mm-hmm. And you know as well as I know, you can have all the physical tools. You can be 6'5 and 250, but if you ain't got the mental part, then it doesn't matter, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you can lack things physically and be smart, have a high football IQ, and still be able to play at a high level.
Yeah.
So I've always been impressed with N'Kobe, the mental side of the game for him. And like I said, those guys are playing very well right now. I just hope they continue, man, play at that level and the whole defense as well. I thought the defense played well in the first game. They just gave up too many explosive plays.
Well, on N'Kobe, one thing we've talked about a lot is how he's good when he's playing downhill. You know, he wants to hit people. How do you strike that balance at that particular position between letting the play develop and letting things come to you and trying to be aggressive and make a play?
Well, I'm going to tell you what I teach my boys. It all depends on the opponent, first, the scheme, second, and as much as you read the offensive line, you have to read your defensive line also. Because just like safeties are back there, they're the erasers in case we mess up, then the linebackers are the erasers if the D-line mess up, right? So if somebody's not in their gap, we just can't fill in right on top of them. We got to fill opposite gaps. So we have to read our defensive linemen just as much as we read the offensive line, because if a guy does a good job on a stretch play and he stays in his gap, then most likely the ball is going to cut back. So you may play over top a little bit and then just be ready to fall back. But it doesn't make sense. The D-lineman over the top and you're over the top. Then when that running back cuts back, it's going to be a wide open lane there. So he just has to, you know, get a feel for the game and just continue just to read the guys in front of him, because he has some monsters in front of him. And, you know, Vangio like to let them guys go play, man, to keep them linebackers free so they can just run and make plays.
Talking to Jeremiah Trotter, you mentioned the big plays, which happened sort of, you know, the defense started off great, and then it seemed like the second and third quarter is when we got hit by those. Coach Sirianni mentioned tackling as a primary issue for that. Based on what you saw, do you think it was more of a tackling issue, or if it was more of a not where you're supposed to be sort of or scheme issue?
I think it was some tackling that definitely had something to do with it. I think the field had some stuff to do with it, especially on those plays where, first of all, it's hard enough trying to tackle NFL guys in open space on a good turf. Mm-hmm. It's even that much harder trying to tackle a guy when the turf is bad, you know. And you know, obviously both teams were on the field. Both teams had to play against it, but I saw Green Bay defense struggle with the same thing, tackling the open field, flipping out there, especially defensive ends just trying to turn the corner when they're pass rushing. But yeah, the tackling definitely had something to do with it. And just his man, them guys get paid too, man. They get paid too. And the object of the game is try to make more plays than they make. You know, if your team goes out and don't make any plays during the course of the game, then a lot of those players not going to be around, and the coaches ain't going to be around that long.
Yeah. Speaking of coach, Vic Fangio in his first year here reminds us a little bit of what Jim Johnson was as a coach. Not as the I guess he's not as, he doesn't have as much fire in him or display it as much as Jim used to display it at times while he was coaching. But that wisdom there, and it's sort of, I guess, that the ability to coach his players hard and have his players respond and respect that, I think that's going to be a good thing for him. What do you think about Coach Fangio as a defensive coordinator and being here?
Yeah, man, I think he definitely has some similarity to Jim Johnson. They both got the old school mentality. He will bring some pressure. He's a straight shooter, tell you where you stand. And myself, I love that in a coach, you know, whether it's good or bad, you know. I remember Ray Rose told me my rookie year, hey, Trot, man, you're the worst rookie we got. And listen, it didn't feel good. But at least I knew, first of all, he didn't need to tell me that for me to know. I knew I was in a bad place at that time. But I appreciated him being real with me, man, because a lot of times if people tell you one thing, it means something totally different, you know. So I like that about Fangio. You heard the guys, some of their interviews. They say, you know, he's a straight shooter. He's going to let you know where you stand. And, you know, you can't help but appreciate that at the end of the day. And as far as the scheme-wise, man, I really like how he allowed those guys to go play, especially the front seven, you know, D linemen, linebackers. His mentality is he wants those linebackers. If you look at his history, linebackers have been very successful in his scheme.
Yep.
Because they try to keep those guys free, let them run around, make plays. If you got a guy that knows how to blitz, he's going to blitz him, get him in the blitzing scheme. And, you know, you can't help but appreciate that, man. I think the defense had a pretty good showing against Green Bay. Now, people forget, man, Green Bay got a really good team.
Yeah.
You know, their playoff team last year got one of the top quarterbacks in the league. And, you know, if it wasn't for a couple of plays, those explosive plays, you go from playing, for me, a B to an A, you know. Mm-hmm. So I'm very excited, very optimistic about the season and the defense.
Well, we'd be remiss not to ask you about how Junior has been doing and how's that been going for you. As a dad now, you get to watch your son play here in the city that you played in, playing for the team that you played for. How's that been going for him and for yourself?
Man, I'm still on clouds, man. I'm still walking on clouds. Like, I'm just enjoying the moment, man. Junior's enjoying the moment. He's excited to be an Eagle, excited to be just out there working hard, getting better. And all you got to do, man, I just said, just keep working. And, you know, when it's your time, when God going, you just be ready, you know. When your number's called, be ready, man. And, you know, I'm just excited, man. I'm just super proud of him, all the work he put in. And, you know, wow. I dropped him off yesterday at the facilities and you know, still kind of still a little strange, you know what I'm saying, dropping him off over there, man, when he used to go in with me or whatever. But,
yeah,
just super proud of him, man. You just got to keep working, man, and that's it.
Well, Trot, you know, I was excited to have you on. I'd be lying if I told you I wasn't disappointed with you letting Ike Reese off the hook at the top of this call. So,
you know what? It's been going on. That was 2000 and...
It's 20 years, man.
Yes.
That was 2005, I think, Ike.
Yep.
Well, they've been lying about the JFK thing for like 60 years. You could have certainly lied about this.
Well, now we're comparing this to JFK?
I'm just saying. It's a better story. You know, we're gonna have you on in 6 months. I might coach you up a little bit on putting this right back on his back.
As soon as you saw me going down that road, all you had to do was push that little dump button. So I know about the dump button, man. You could have dumped it.
All right, Trot. We appreciate you joining us, man.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, brother.
All right, fellas.
There he is, Jeremiah Trotter, ruining our fun.
Yes, finally.
Ruining our fun.
No, we used to laugh about that privately, though.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yes.
Yeah, what a moment.
I'm like, dude, you're just going to keep this going, right? You're just going to throw gas on this fire with this thing.
Well, I think it is. I just love the stories from, you know, you both had long careers and playing together and then playing against each other. And I love, one of the things I love that both you guys, but you specifically bring to this, is sort of weaving that story through time. And by the way, those stories only get better as time goes on.
Dude, I can never get away from it. We play the Falcons like every other year.
Yeah. All the time.
And I'm going to text Trot, and I'm going to say, hey, next time the Eagles play the Falcons, we're going to do this again, and here's what you need to say.
It's a tradition like no other.
So coming up, thank you to Jeremiah Trotter for joining us. Coming up in about 25 minutes at 3:40, Fletcher Cox, newly retired, along with Nick Foles, both newly retired, Fletcher Cox will join us at 3:40 to talk about what he's seen and, honestly, what life is like not getting ready to line up for this game tonight. And speaking of this game tonight, I kind of want to say something a little more clearly than I said at the top of this show. So the Eagles are the better team and the more talented team tonight. But the specific reason why I am shaky, and I guess I don't think people have really confronted this, is this is a game that the Eagles can lose tonight. And there are several different ways the Eagles can lose this game. And the first way the Eagles can lose this game is Bijan Robinson. And we just talked about it with Trot. The Eagles let up several big plays last week to a player who is not nearly as explosive as Bijan Robinson is. You know?
That's
so
true.
So and one of the things that we saw that you know, N'Kobe Dean and Zach Bond both played well last week, but N'Kobe Dean did struggle when he was asked to cover somebody. And I can see that nightmare, whether it's Kyle Pitts, whether it's Bijan Robinson taking advantage of that. And this is one of the things that makes me nervous, is that we allow a couple of those early in the game and get behind. I just don't think the Eagles will be nearly as successful this year if they're playing from behind rather than playing from ahead. One of the things that happened last week that we got, I give credit to the defense, but ultimately we are very lucky that this game was not 14-0 last week.
Oh, yeah, it'd be a different game.
That's a different game, not just because they would have 8 more points than 6, but it changes.
We don't abandon the run.
We don't see the Saquon game that we saw last week. So that the first way they can lose tonight, and they can lose this game, is Bijan Robinson. The second way they can lose, and people love making fun of Kirk Cousins the same way they love making fun of Tony Romo, blah, blah, blah. Tonight is not a playoff game. So all the big game stuff we can talk about Kirk Cousins with and not succeeding in the playoffs, tonight is not a playoff game. Kirk Cousins has had a lot of huge regular season games and has had those games against us.
Oh, yeah.
And the whole notion that Kirk Cousins is a statue, so he's not going to be able to succeed tonight, I have news for everybody. We didn't get to Jordan Love last week, and Kirk Cousins gets rid of the ball quicker than just about any quarterback in the NFL. Mm-hmm. So if you don't think that Kirk Cousins can have a big game tonight and Bijan Robinson can have a big game tonight, you are sorely mistaken. And the other thing is, if we are put in that position, I don't want to be in a position where we need to play catch-up without A.J. Brown. The Eagles are wildly talented offensively, but something you mentioned at the top of the show I just keep thinking about is that if the Falcons decide to stop Saquon Barkley, and any defense can decide to stop a running back if they sell out enough on it, right?
Yep.
If the Eagles are in a position where the Atlanta Falcons have decided Saquon Barkley is not going to beat us, then all of a sudden we're in a position where Jalen Hurts is going to have to throw the football a bunch and is going to have to take what the defense gives him and is going to have to not turn the ball over. And I think these are all things that I'm not saying all of these things are definitely going to happen, but the reality that we have to face is that this is a team that has the ability to beat the Eagles tonight.
Well,
this is not a team, we're not facing the Carolina Panthers tonight.
Yeah. Now, listen, they have, and to your concern or point about the passing game for the Eagles and Jalen having to throw the ball. Well, if you're the Falcons, you have 3 All-Pro Pro Bowl caliber players in your secondary, and A.J. Terrell, Jesse Bates, and Justin Simmons.
Right.
Like, they're 2 safeties. That might be the best safety combo in football.
Who I'm sure saw what happened last week, and the idea of beating Jalen Hurts into throwing a pass that he shouldn't throw. Yeah, that's all, is that tonight should be an exciting night. Nick Foles, it will be a great
night.
It won't
be an easy night.
But tonight's not going to be an easy game.
Nope.
And they got lucky last week. And look, they won the game. They deserved to. I'm not saying they didn't deserve to win the game. Mm-hmm. But they got lucky in that a play goes one way here or there, and all of a sudden this is a very, very different attitude going into tonight's game. So that's it. So
Stop scaring everybody on the way to the game.
I'm not trying to scare anybody. I'm just trying to say that this is a
more Ike, less Spike.
Well, we've heard that before.
Yeah,
on
trust
social
me.
Media. Yeah, we all get it.
I've heard that a bunch.
I mean, you didn't bring up Matthew Judon and Grady Jarrett. Like, if you want to scare
right, me. I didn't even bring them.
Yeah,
right.
Two great edge rushers.
Yeah, so 215-592-9494. More confident or more nervous for tonight's game? You should be nervous. That's all I'm trying to tell you.
Wake up!
Wake up! Coming up in about 20 minutes, Fletcher Cox joins us. I'm really excited to have Fletcher on
the show.
Wouldn't
be nervous if he was out there playing tonight.
I would be less nervous.
Yes.
I would tell you that.
Would not have bet on Bijan having 100 yards rushing.
Yeah. Did you do that?
Yeah.
Well, Ike essentially bet on him by drafting him onto his fantasy team.
Oh, so. Wow. Yeah, just keep making it.
Well, but hold on.
Yeah.
I couldn't pass him up.
What? And when can Ike and I take a victory lap on Bijan? Because they obviously were going to draft
him. Oh, yeah.
They signed Saquon this year. They're obviously going to draft Bijan if Jalen Carter wasn't on the board.
We've taken our victory lap. We just did it in silence. Everybody knows.
Yeah.
Like, they don't want to bring it up or admit it. But the Delaware Valley, who all were against drafting Bijan last year, they actually went out and paid more for an older running back.
You're saying the Delaware Valley. I sort of feel like this is focused on one specific WIP employee, actually.
It might be.
Okay, all right. Yes, it might be.
And a newspaper reporter.
And a newspaper reporter. Coming up next, Fletcher Cox joins us. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Frizz.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Oh, yeah. That's music right there.
I know you're a big Hank Williams.
Yes.
Guy.
It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Fletcher Cox joins us in less than 10 minutes. Who is this? WIP, you're on the air.
Hey, fellas, Tornado again, the game day forecast.
I don't want... It's Tornado Shapiro again. We don't want a game day forecast. We never asked
you
for this.
Calm down, Spike, calm down. You know you love it. It's your game day information for your listeners. How about some intro music? Come on, hit it!
It's the game day forecast from the world's most accurate and famous meteorologist, Tornado Shapiro.
Now that's some damn respect. Hey, listen. It's Atlanta. It's Monday Night Football. We just had Trot on. Somebody get my neck rope! Ike, you need to go down there tonight and stir up some trouble. How about this time you get Trot Jr. thrown out? Hey, come on!
He's on the Eagles.
He's on our team.
Well, didn't stop him last time. You're an Eagle at heart. You missed your colors that time.
All right.
All right, so listen up, fellas. Weather-wise, we got a picture-perfect night. Sorry, Jalen, you can't blame the weather this time. It'll be warm enough. It'll be warm enough for Kelsey to take his shirt off. I just hope the cameras are able to catch him with his shirt off this time. Tonight, the sky will be clear. We're looking at so clear, it'll actually look a little phony. Phonier than Elliot Shore Park's knowledge of football. Come on.
Wow.
We're going after everybody tonight. No holds barred. All right. Forecast. If you're going to the game tonight, everybody, you want to keep your options open. It's a crystal clear night, but I do see some cloud cover sneaking in there. And we're looking at even a slight breeze at game time, as it'll be a little breezy. Oh, breezy. Breezy Louise. Weather gal out of Charlotte. WPLLL. Please, Louise, do it again. Why? Because I like it. You know, I work with Breezy briefly down at WZZZZZZZR, the canal, Laurel Mountain Bluff, Western Kentucky. Come on. I won't say Breezy was easy, but she brings her own precipitation.
Oh, that's just no. We're not doing that again. The weather's perfect, right? No chance of rain. We're clear for tonight.
Not so fast, my young brother. I always like to keep my options open for any human eventuality. Now, right now, you got cloud cover. And where there's cloud cover, there might be a little precip. We all know it. The precip. I kick off, the chance of precip sneaks up to 7%. We're getting eerily close to that 50-50
chance of rain. That we
no, have. It's not.
50-50 chance.
Listen, it'll be gorgeous, but then again, it could be a monsoon. Hurricane Helene is only a day away from coming up I-95. I'd pack the Umby, because we could be looking at a deluge, and you know it. It's either a night for catching fireflies or bring your rubbers. Come on, the doctor can go either way on this.
Wait, no.
Nope. Breezy's not here.
And how is it a 7% chance of rain, but then it's a 50-50 chance of rain? You're a fraud. You're not a real meteorologist.
How dare you question my integrity? You know my credentials. Do you know how long I've been successfully predicting the very difficult, unpredictable science of meteorology?
You're never. Give me a break. You're terrible.
And don't forget Big Stick Nick retirement ceremony. You want Philly, Philly? Damn right I do. By the way, back in 2018, I gave Foles a 50-50 shot of winning that Super Bowl, and I was right again.
That's not right.
By the way,
right.
fun fact about the Foles statue. It's the only statue in the NFL that's made out of wood.
Nope. We're done.
He's got to go.
Yeah, he's got to go. The line about brings her own precipitation.
I didn't know Nick's statue was made of wood.
Yeah,
no.
Well.
Sponsored, too.
Proper tribute.
Yep.
Proper tribute.
Yep.
Yeah. 7% chance of precipitation, but 50-50% chance of rain.
Bring your umby.
Yeah, bring your umby.
It's a little overcast out there.
It does. But this is the good kind of overcast.
Yeah, this is football overcast.
Football overcast, buddy.
Oh.
Ah.
What?
Fletcher Cox joins us shortly. Are you more nervous or confident for tonight's game? 215-592-9494. Paul in Woodland. You're on WIP. What's up, Paul?
Yeah, what's up, fellas? Game day live. You already know.
What up, Paul?
Let me tell you. I'm good. I'm confident. I think we're going to win. But, you know, like Spike said, it's the NFL. Anybody can beat us. Atlanta ain't phony. But I go into every game like this. I'm like a nervous guy anyway. I don't care if it's playing the Carolina Panthers. I'll be a little nervous.
Well, hold on. Nobody's going to be nervous about playing the Panthers.
Not really. But you know what I mean. Anything yeah. can happen in the NFL, man. You know.
Those guys get paid, too. I don't know if you heard that.
Yeah, you're right. But listen, I'm predicting a 34-17 Eagles victory. It's going to be an easy one. And Jalen's going to. They were going to do his thing, make up for his subpar play last week. We're going to walk away out of here 2-0, top of the NFC East, and that's going to be it. Let's go, Birds.
All right, Paul. He says he's nervous, and then he says they're going to win by 17 points.
Awesome.
So we are lucky to be joined by Eagles great Fletcher Cox, who will be at, you're going to be over at Xfinity Live with Bud Light, right? Pre-game party, Philly party, Xfinity Live, hosted by our own Devin Caney. And Fletch will be there starting at 4:30. So good to have you, man. Thank you for taking the time.
Yes, sir. No doubt, man. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate you joining us, big dog. Man, so first I got to ask you, how's retirement been treating you? I mean, you don't have a podcast and you didn't take a job with ESPN. So what's your retirement been like this offseason?
Man, really just taking some time to myself, football took up, let's be honest, you know, my entire life. So now I'm just taking some time to myself. I've had opportunities, to do TV and, you know, a couple of things. And now I just kind of reflect on just my life and my family, you know, just being able to spend more time with them and not run around a whole lot and doing a whole lot of things, because the last 15 years, you know, let's be honest, my life was, you know, the schedule with others, you know, I had a schedule to follow, but now it's my schedule now, right? So I'm enjoying it.
What is it? You know what, Fletch, we're going to put you on hold. Oh, no, the noise is gone. Amazing. That's great.
How about that?
Yeah, what is it? You know, we're here at the stadium. You feel like the energy around you. What is it about being part of the team and playing that you miss the most?
It's not even really just missing. Just, you know, I was talking to a lot of people. You know, I got a lot of good friends, a lot of people that have been around in my entire life that means a lot to me. You know, I think the biggest thing is, you know, I tell them, I say, do you miss ball? I'm like, no, I don't miss football at all. And they ask me, do you have to itch? I'm like, no. I'm just like, well, what's wrong? I'm like, you know, I tell them, I don't miss football. I miss the people. I miss the Miss Cathy's. I miss the Miss Leanne's. You know, you miss the conversations that you have with people in the building. Mm-hmm. you know, because I felt like I made the right decision to retire. But now if I miss Kathy and miss Leanne or Paul or, you know, the training staff, somebody like that, I can pop in for a half hour, see them, pop back out. So I got my fix, right? That's the biggest thing to me.
We put Fletch on hold there. Buzz is going to call him back. His line was a little bit funny. You know what? I
haven't heard that popping since the middle of the summer.
Yeah, I know. It was
a nice little throwback.
And then when it was gone, I was like, hey, it's gone. Yeah. You know, it's interesting what he said about taking time for himself, because I always think about that. I think about, well, if I wasn't doing this job or something, I would take. And then when I have time to myself for more than literally 1.5 days,
yeah,
I no longer want time to myself.
Well, you're just on TikTok.
Yeah, well, but then it's really the point. I think having time on your own almost takes like planning, or you wind up just sitting around realizing that you're treating your free time now like you treated it before. Like, free time when you have a job is time to not do anything, is to lay there. But when you're not working, all of a sudden your free time has to be almost planned like a job was. Otherwise, you just sit there without doing anything. All right, here's Fletch. Fletch is back. Sorry about that, Fletch. Glad to have you back, man.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Got all the bugs worked out. So we're ready to roll.
So, Fletch, I'm saying with you, you actually were playing at a pretty good level last year in your final year. You know, some of us, when I was at the end, it wasn't that hard to see. I was at the end. You, on the other hand, were certainly playing very good football last year. And to be okay with walking away, that says a lot about the conviction that you have in your decision to walk away, but also being satisfied with what you've done in your career. You're a Super Bowl champion. You've gone to a couple of Super Bowls. You've been all pro. I believe you made all decade in the 2010s. So,
come on, Ike. Don't rob me. Don't rob me. You know I was there now.
Listen. Hey, Fletch, you see, I threw it out there. I wasn't completely sure.
I'm like, that's one thing I can't brag on now, Ike. Hey,
that's right.
Come on now. It ain't many on that now. Talk to me.
That's right. Listen, you and Aaron Donald, the two DTs of the decade, brother. You're right. I cannot rob you on that, man. But you did have a wonderful career, man. Even a Hall of Fame worthy career. Does it make the decision to sort of walk away easier for you, realizing the things you did accomplish during the time that you were playing?
It did, man. You know, and I felt like I had already given the game like so much, and the game it gave me so much back. And you know, respectful, like, you know, when I started having those minor injuries and my body started to break down last year, and I knew it was time. You know, I had conversations with my mom, had conversations with my girl. She saw the pain I was going through day in and day out, you know. So I kind of knew it was time, you know, and I felt like, you know, I had given the city of Philadelphia everything I could. And, you know, I just felt like, you know, the biggest thing, it was time to you know, kind of pass the torch to see what, you know, what these younger guys can do to produce. But I knew I definitely didn't have the 60 to 65 snaps a game of me for another year. It just would have took a toll on me. And, you know, disrespectfully, I felt like I did the right thing.
Fletcher Cox with us. Fletch will be with the Bud Light pregame Philly Party Xfinity Live, hosted by Devin Caney. Fletch, like, and it, this might sound like a crazy question, but I don't think it is. Are you watching? Are you going to watch the games? Are you going to be invested in it this year?
I might watch a little bit. I mostly will be watching the stats. You know, last week on Friday after the game, I went and looked at some things, and you know, I texted a couple guys, and I said, y'all have to be better at this, you know, and hopefully, you know, they got my text and respected it. So, you know, for me, for a team to average, I think it was, 7.8 yards a carry, yep, you know, in the run game, that's not Philadelphia defense, you know. I think the biggest thing is it's week one, but it's still thing is unacceptable, you know, as Eagles defense, because we're known for, you know, for stopping the run and keeping the team behind the sticks. So hopefully the guys come out against a good Atlanta team that's got a really good running back this week. They like to hand the ball to them and respond to that. And I'm expecting them to respond.
Yeah, man. The losing you and Jason in the same offseason, you're talking about two of the best leaders to ever wear the midnight green. And you guys left it in the hands of some young players. You feel like, at least on the defensive side of the ball, The defense is in good hands with the young guys that are over there, like the N'Kobes and the Jalen Carters and those guys over there?
Oh, yeah, you know, absolutely. And, you know, Jordan is the guy. I think Jordan is the guy. You know, Jalen is the guy. You know, I think they got to just grow up quick. If they're kind of thrown in the position that I was thrown in when I was young, right? You know, Andy, you know, my first year, Andy, we were, what, 4-12?
Yep.
You know, new head coach the next year, and it was kind of like, all right, like, hey, Flesh, like, you're the guy. You know, not that somebody retired, but it was just a bunch of whole lot of roster changes, and, like, I had to grow up quick. And that's the thing that I think those guys got to do. They got to grow up quick. You know, there's, you know, as Jordan says all the time, you know, I'm his, you know, his shoulder. You know, I'm his guy. You know what I'm saying? I'm his guy to count on, but now he don't have that guy. Jalen don't have that guy. Milton don't have that guy. Marlon don't have that guy to go ask questions to week in and week out. But they still have my phone number. And like I said, like, I'll be watching and I can help those guys as much as I can. But at the same time, I think that, you know, they'll step up as the season goes and they'll continue to attack.
You mentioned the yards per carry last week. What was it that you saw that allowed Green Bay to sort of break those big plays? Was it a tackling issue? Was it a guys aren't where they're supposed to be? What do you think the major cause of that was?
No, I think the biggest thing is this is week one, right?
Yeah.
You look at week one, and the week one to four in the NFL, you got those games where it's going to be a 1 or 2 possession game. You know, I played it, Mike, you played it, you know where week one to four is where yep. you're still trying to find your identity. You know what I'm saying? I think the biggest thing is, you know, we've got a lot of young guys that hasn't played a bunch of snaps. And I think that at the same time, as the season go on, once those guys play those 45 to 50 to 55 snaps a game, you know, their conditioning will be better, their technique will be better, they can focus on everything except being tired. And I know that's what Nick going to do. Nick is going to focus on all those things and getting those guys better. I've been in that building, again, for 12 years. So I know they'll all be better, and I'm excited to see it.
Yeah, along with the Eagles' great Fletcher Cox. Fletch, Nick Foles is officially retiring tonight. He's part of your Super Bowl team back in 2017-18. Just want to get your thoughts on what was your thought process when Carson went down and Nick had to take over? I just want to know how you felt, what was it like in the locker room with the team, and then what Nick was able to go on and do to lead you guys to the Super Bowl. What was that like, that year and experience?
I mean, honestly, it was like we're in good hands, you know, because, you know, I was there with Nick. We got drafted together, and he started a bunch of games, right? And I knew as a guy like Nick that's played in games, that's played in you know, under a bunch of pressure, that he wouldn't crack. And, like, he stepped in and finished his thing for us, and you got to be thankful for him. Yeah, because Nick is a team guy, and he's always, you know, just been there for everybody. You know, he was a guy in the locker room that you wanted around you. You know, even if he wasn't the starting quarterback to come into, you know, to start the season, Nick was a guy that you wanted around you all the time because he was one of the dudes. You know, I can say, yo, Nick, you know, anybody can ask Nick anything. He'll joke around with you, you know, and that's the thing you respect about a quarterback, and that's what you expect out of your starting quarterback. You expect him to mold with everybody in the locker room. It don't matter what position you are.
So tonight, with it being home opener, Monday Night Football, the Nick Foles retirement night, we expect the crowd to be really, really juiced when the game starts. Is it, as a player, can that ever work against you, a really high level of energy in the stadium when the game starts?
Oh, absolutely. You know, you got to keep the energy. The biggest thing is keeping that energy going. And the way to keep it going, honestly, is to get a couple 3-and-outs. Offense is driving the ball, score. You know, that's the way to keep the energy going. You know, you kind of let the air out of the team. And that's my experience from, again, playing in the link for 12 years. You know, you want to let the air out of the other team early and keep your momentum going and good things happen.
Well, we appreciate you joining us, man. I know you said you're going to take time for yourself, but do not be a stranger because you're a legend, obviously, in Philadelphia, an all-time Eagles great. And you know how all-time Eagles greats get treated around here. Just ask Ike, you know. So
Ike's the man. Ike's the man. He's my neighbor. He just don't know it.
No, I know it. I know it. I'm waiting on an invite over there.
All right, Fletch.
All right, big dog.
All right, man. I'll see y'all around, okay?
All right. Take care, man.
Thanks.
Hey, thanks for having me, bro. Peace.
Yep.
Fletcher Cox will be at Xfinity Live for the Bud Light pregame Philly party hosted by our own Devin Caney. I say this about Fletcher.
He is my neighbor.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How far away?
Well,
what's his address, Ike?
Yeah.
No, I don't have his address, but I'm just saying we're in the same area.
General vicinity.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Look, it was a 10-minute conversation, but he does.
His yard is bigger than mine, though.
I would say.
Yeah. Wow. Man. Yeah.
He's not dealing with the HOA?
No, he's not dealing with an HOA.
Still probably has the same problems with people not picking up after their dogs, though. Happens in every neighborhood.
Is this mayor in his fantasy league or no?
Yeah. Look, it was a 10-minute conversation, whatever. Mm-hmm. But he does sound at peace,
sort of,
doesn't he? He sounds relaxed in a way that I think you can tell. I would imagine, and you went through this, and I'm sure every player goes through it, and especially for him, retiring sort of toward the top of his game, mm-hmm. is afterwards, especially when the season starts up again, did I make the right decision?
Yep.
What am I doing? And it definitely sounds like he just believes that it was the right time.
Yeah, I think sometimes your body will tell you.
Yep.
I think he gave us everything he could give last year, and certainly had a season better than I think most people anticipated that he would have. But you also heard him mention there about how he felt and the little nagging injuries and those sorts of things. They start to add up. And man, when you're in those meetings or you're getting treatment in the training room, or you know you got to go in there and lift, and you're constantly thinking like, well, how much of this do I got left in me to do?
Right.
It's time. It's about that time. And every player sort of goes through that. And it's a beautiful thing when you are at peace with it, though, as opposed, how some guys trying to hang on and get back and forth to training camp. They want to get back and forth in training camp. But Fletcher seems to be at peace with it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, football, like no other sport, takes a toll on your body.
Yeah,
and allowing all of those years of running into other giant humans as fast as and hard as you can, giving your body a break and a chance to heal from that, I'm sure physically feels good. You know?
Yeah, him and BG, man, some of my favorite players. Like, obviously my teammates that I play with, my favorite players. But guys that I didn't play with that just played for the Eagles, those two to me will always be like a duo together. And man, they gave us some good football during their careers and brought us a championship.
And one team. Play for one team.
Yeah.
Both great careers play for one team.
How many guys have we drafted in the first round to be a franchise cornerstone piece, and they actually turn out to be that? And in some instances, he was better than we could have imagined he would be.
What BG too? BG,
yes.
Especially given how the first few years of his career went, mm-hmm. from an injury standpoint and then from a performance standpoint, and how many times did we? Well, Brandon Graham's going to retire an all-time Eagle,
yes.
An all-time Eagle. For the first several years of his career, you could not say his name without also saying Earl Thomas.
Earl Thomas, yeah.
And now he made the second most important play in the Super Bowl. And
stop.
Well, and is going to retire an all-time.
That's why I kind of agree with Jack. It may have been the most important play. It was the most important.
Not on Nick Foles' night.
You're damn right, not on Nick Foles' night.
Don't make me take the Philly special out of the top five most important plays.
Stop it. Coming up next.
It was. They were leading.
Stop it. Stop it.
It's a great play.
The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Mark's is designing the ultimate championship ring for our listeners. Vote on the design and find out how to win at 94WIP.com/Mark's. What do you feel about the game tonight? Confident or nervous? 67% confident, 33% nervous. There is a team that's also playing some good ball in town. The Philadelphia Phillies won that series against the Mets, even though I was terrified. We'll do a little Phils, a little High Hopes Jackie Baseball Report next on the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Oh, and Ike has a great appearance coming up. The Ike comedy debut.
On the 28th, you come and see Joe Conklin's comedy show at Archbishop Wood High School in Warminster, PA on Saturday, September 28th. Come early. Make sure you come and holler at your boy. I'll be there for a meet and greet before the show and you need tickets, just go to JoeGoglin.com.
There you go. We're at Lincoln Financial Field. Oh, boy.
Wow.
That was awful. They're not a big game voice. That's why I'm not the pregame show host. Lincoln Financial Field, WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.